Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, October 14th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Chris Christie campaigns for Jeff Johnson, the governor's task force on child protection meets for the first time, and Duluth after Don Ness. Two of the major party candidates for governor debated in Duluth today. Governor Mark Dayton and Republican Jeff Johnson talked about the economy, education, transportation, Minsure, and the new Viking Stadium. Independence Party candidate Hannah Nicollet wasn't allowed in the debate. We'll have a complete wrap-up here tomorrow. Meanwhile, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says he believes Jeff Johnson can win the race for Minnesota governor, and that's why he campaigned with him in Minnesota yesterday. Christie held a private fundraiser for Johnson, and the two visited a charter school in Columbia Heights. Tom Scheck has more.
Jeff Johnson said he and Chris Christie visited Global Academy Charter School because test scores show it has been successful in closing the performance gap between minority students and white students. He said the school, which is a diverse population of students, has a long waiting list, showing there's demand for schools where minority students succeed.
I'll tell you what, when I'm governor, I will take this head on. It will be my number one education goal, and it will be one of the most important goals that I have overall, because we can't give up on these kids.
Johnson has been a strong backer of giving parents more school options, including charter schools and private schools. He also said he'd push to include the parent trigger, a measure in law in California and Christie's New Jersey that allows parents to vote to make changes, including firing a principal or turning a traditional school into a charter school.
If you have a school that is chronically failing, you have to define that. If you have a chronically failing school, then the parents of the kids in that school have some power. They can petition to change something.
Christie wasn't in Minnesota just to talk education. As chair of the Republican Governors Association, his top goal is to help Republicans win governor's races across the country. He's also considering a run for president in 2016. And even though Johnson is lagging DFL Governor Mark Dayton in the polls, Christie said he thinks Johnson can win.
There are a lot of people who didn't believe in me, and they still came and they helped because they thought that the cause was the right thing to do. I believe in Jeff, and I think he can win this race. And so I think it's important for me, and that's without regard to whatever I may do with my future.
Christie held a private fundraiser for Johnson and a separate private fundraiser for the Minnesota Republican Party. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News, Columbia Heights.
Governor Dayton says he hopes a year from now Minnesota will be a very different place for children across the state. Dayton's new task force for the protection of children met for the first time yesterday. The governor asked the group to make recommendations to improve the child protection system after the death of a four-year-old boy, despite 15 warnings to child protection officials. Sasha Aslanian has more.
Dayton's 26-member task force includes a former Chief Justice of the Minnesota Supreme Court, a police chief, a county sheriff, numerous county social service directors, and two medical doctors. Dayton told the group he's concerned about violence. He says it's a theme that often emerges when he interviews judicial candidates about trends they're seeing in their counties.
Almost to a one is increased abuse, spousal abuse, child abuse, family abuse by parents, by significant others, by relatives, by strangers, and the intensity and the severity of the abuse has also increased. So I think one thing you could do is to help people out there saying, you know, how could you let this happen? How could it happen to anybody, and which it shouldn't, but help them understand how it is that it's come to this situation today.
More than a decade ago, then Supreme Court Chief Justice Kathleen Blatz opened up Minnesota's child protection hearings to improve the accountability of the system. As a member of the task force, Blatz says the part of the system upstream from the courts, when a potential case of child abuse is first reported, also needs close examination.
We need to understand the reports coming in, how many, the nature of the allegations, and then what happened. Otherwise, the system, I just don't believe, can be fixed, because I know it's too many good people have been trying to fix it with the doors closed and the windows closed, and it just doesn't get better.
At issue is the high rate of reports that don't get investigated. More than two-thirds of calls to child protection don't result in cases being opened. The legislative auditor examined variations between counties in 2012. Emergency room physician Dr. Lisa Hollensteiner, who serves on the task force, wondered whether the state should have an emergency hotline rather than screening county by county.
Obviously, my interaction with Child Protection is in the screening in process. I am very concerned about our low screening in rate and would like to look at that. Why is that? We're lower than most of the rest of the country. We're lower than other countries. I have the sense that it's the bar is too low, that we're looking at present danger rather than impending danger.
A state law passed in May got the loudest criticism from some task force members. The law prohibits child protection workers from considering previously rejected abuse reports when deciding whether to investigate a new allegation. Two lawmakers serving on the task force say they've been flooded by constituents wanting them to change the law. One of them was Representative Joe Mullery, a DFLer from North Minneapolis, who says he missed the provision when it was tucked in the middle of a 30-page bill.
I'm getting a lot of pressure from everybody in the system that we should get rid of this as soon as possible. And everything I know about everything I've ever done is that I couldn't believe that this was buried in there.
A representative from Hennepin County's Child Protection Citizen Review Panel said he was horrified when he learned about the new law. Cletus Myshock was one of four citizen review panelists who shared findings with the task force. Myshock said screening decisions don't make sense to regular people who feel frustrated when their calls don't result in action. He says panelists also find the system murky.
Trying to follow a family through the system is almost impossible. You know, is it the same families coming in the system over and over and over again? Are we spending all our money on a few families? Is it different families? What are we doing with those families? And are we helping those families? We couldn't get to that point. And so, you know, in our annual reports, over and over and over again, we're saying data needs to be better.
Task force members will try to wade through a complex system and deliver preliminary recommendations to the governor and the legislature by the end of the year. The governor has asked for full recommendations in March in time to take legislative action. Sasha Eslanian, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Duluth Mayor Don Ness won't be running for a third term, as we reported yesterday. Ness has become well known for helping transform Duluth's image from struggling industrial town to outdoor tourist mecca. But while he's helped place Duluth on firmer financial ground, challenges remain for his successor, as Dan Crocker reports.
At the news conference explaining his decision not to seek a third term, Don Ness likened his nearly 7 years in office to a track relay, in which he plans to sprint as fast as he can for another 15 months.
And then at that moment when you're about to collapse because you've been running so hard, you pass that baton on to the next person who hopefully is running full speed going forward, ready to take on the task of bringing our city even further into the future.
Ness became a familiar figure statewide as the reassuring face of Duluth during the city's recovery from devastating floods 2 years ago, a youngish mayor with a roll-up-your-sleeves problem-solving attitude. He was also known as that cool politician who stage-dived during a Trampled by Turtles First Avenue concert, sipped craft beer, and touted mountain bike trails as economic development strategy. But State Senator Roger Reinert of Duluth says there's more to Ness's legacy than a hipster reputation.
People's memories are short, and I think many have forgotten just the mountain of problems that were awaiting him when he came in as mayor.
Reinert, who served with Ness on the Duluth City Council, says when Ness moved to the mayor's office, Duluth faced a consent decree from the EPA to end sewer overflows into Lake Superior, as well as an unfunded retiree health care liability. Current City Councilman Howie Hansen says the two mayors who preceded Ness were unwilling to tackle the health care issue, which Hansen says threatened to bankrupt the city.
You know, that wasn't very popular in his party, the DFL party, but he had the courage to do it.
Ness helped hammer out a plan that has cut the city's liability by more than half. He's also helped rebuild the city's budget reserves. But Reinert says his most important accomplishment is something less tangible.
Sort of a renewed enthusiasm and belief and confidence in Duluth as one of the best mid-sized cities in America in which to live.
Reinert says Ness focused on what makes Duluth unique and invested in making Duluth an outdoor recreation hotspot. City Council President Linda Krug puts it this way.
I think of Don for helping to make Duluth more hip. Now we talk about a Duluth nightlife and about outdoor pursuits that attract younger people.
Krug says whoever follows Ness will have large shoes to fill, but she expects a crowded field, maybe even a dozen candidates. So far, the only candidate to announce a run is City Councilman and longtime Duluth blogger Howie Hansen. He says the city's aging infrastructure, particularly its crumbling streets, is the main challenge facing the city.
I think that the next mayor should really have a strong skill set on getting deeper into the nuts and bolts of the aged infrastructure of Duluth and recommitting and finding the dollars and prioritizing the dollars for the streets, the water lines. Those are the non-sexy things that need to be addressed.
The city has struggled to finance street maintenance since the Fond du Lac Ojibwe Band stopped sharing revenue from its downtown casino with the city 5 years ago. That dispute is still tied up in court, and the city council recently imposed a fee on residents to pay for repairs. Today, Ness called the continual stalemate with the band his largest disappointment during his time in office.
Because it's not only the impact to the city's finances, it's not only the importance to our street program and to the taxpayers of the city of Duluth, but more importantly, it's about the relationship that we have with this community, with the Fond du Lac community.
One of the biggest challenges facing whoever replaces Ness as Duluth's mayor will be to establish his or her own identity and vision. That won't be easy, following a mayor who's repeatedly enjoyed approval ratings around 90%. Dan Crocker, Minnesota Public Radio News, Duluth.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.